Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. Once again, the question is, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God? Only you can answer that question. You know and God knows. But yes, we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night. From 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so glad and happy to have on the broadcast once again on tonight to deliver God's word. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, none other than Deacon Marvin Cox from Detroit, Michigan. We'll be bringing forth God's word. And as I said earlier, yes, we come to you live every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We are so grateful that God has opened his door, this worldwide platform, to be able to deliver his word, that souls can be saved, backsliders will be able to come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through his word. We also open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. So now we are asking all the listeners to come on one accord as we go to the throne of God on tonight. Heavenly Father, we come once again, your children, your saints, coming to you, knowing that you are God alone. You're God all by yourself. You are the Most High God. You are the great I Am. So we thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You sit high and look low. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And for this, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, started with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land, even those that are yet to become saved, in Jesus' name, forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we are so grateful on tonight for your son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, that is through him, first and foremost, that we're saved in his name. And then we can come through Jesus Christ and be forgiven of our transgressions and our sins, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. For this we're grateful in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But we thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray and ask you to move by your Spirit on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he deliver your word. We pray, Lord, that your word will be heard and will be received by every listener. We pray now, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit, that should there be any listener on the line tonight or through any social media platform all over the world, even those that are behind prison bars, that are now being able to receive this worldwide platform, that if there's anyone that do not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior, it's our prayer and our hope and desire that something will be said through your word on tonight. It will prick their hearts, that they will receive your word. They will open their own mouth and their hearts and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them on tonight. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We continue to lift up the president and the people of Ukraine in our prayers. We know that your word lets us know that we are to keep Jerusalem and Israel in our prayers. So we lift them up to you as well, that they will have peace and prosperity in the land. We continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. You know who they are and where they are. So we know that you are the healer. So touch, heal, and deliver and set free your people as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform, even to the new listeners on tonight for the first time. Bless them as well and grant them all the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we always have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, a mistake that makes you humble is better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. Wow, that's deep, but it's so powerful and yet true. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, and it's something for all of us to consider, even me. It says, once again, a mistake that makes you humble is better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. I want you all to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And once you get there to the website, as you go to my website, I'm asking you to click on follow. Follow the procedures that they lead you to so that you can click on follow. I ask all listeners, if you would please do that so we can continue to build up this worldwide platform, that God will be able to get more glory in the name of Jesus. I do not own copyrights to any music or songs played over this worldwide platform. Once again, I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. We are getting ready to go to our music break. But before we do that, I'm asking all the listeners, once again, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight, none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to once again share with us another inspirational poem. And then he's going to go directly into God's word following the poem. So I'm asking all listeners, enjoy this music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy.
Come on, KD.
That's the wrong version. That's the one I wanted. I wanted a music version of this.
Thank you.
Yes, Pray For Me. That was the musical version of the song Pray For Me. The word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, and that is still true on tonight. Before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, I forgot to mention, I'm asking all the listeners, because we know that we all have gone through the hour of bereavement and the loss of a loved one. And if you have not, as my mother used to say, just keep living, you will. I'm asking all listeners, if you would keep the family of Kimberly Patton in your prayers. She made her transition on last week. So we want to pray for the mother, Carolyn Patton, her brother Billy, and her father, stepfather Bill Caillou. We want to keep them, the father, all in prayer of Sister Kim. We want to encourage them to continue to look to the hills from which cometh their help. But not only their help, but all those that have lost loved ones, all of their help and all of our help still comes from the Lord. So I'm going to ask that everyone continue to keep that family and all families that you know of that have lost a loved one, keep them lifted up in prayer so they would stay encouraged in God. So right now we're going to receive none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. We are now ready to receive this word. Again, I pray that you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you to share with us, your the listeners on tonight, your poem first, and then go directly into God's word. The mic is yours.
Amen. First, I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God, my Father, unto Brother Brown for having enough confidence in me that I'll be able to bring forth God's word. Tonight's lesson is truly a good lesson, as they all are, but I want to warn you that this is a lesson that Brother Brown, after tonight, he might lose a few listeners because the Lord told me to tell his people the truth, and that's what I intend to do. The poem for tonight is something that we all have experienced. It's called Church Hurt.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, it's something that we all have experienced. Church hurt is so hard to overcome, it will cause you to flee the place that you should never run from. The truth has put many people on the run, being told about your sinful ways. It's never any fun. It brings on invisible wounds, the results of what somebody did or said. And those are the kinds of wounds that can kill you dead. They can kill you dead, but not take your life when some people say and do things that cut you like a knife. They got a whole lot of nerve talking to me like that. So pass me my coat and give me my hat. I'm going to fix them all, and I won't respond if they text, email, or call. We are all sinners saved by grace, and I just wish they would get out of my face. But please remember that our spiritual leaders are human too, and they make mistakes like we all do. Sometimes it's easier to run from the truth. Staying away from God's house is definitely the proof. So don't get caught up in your pride, your ego, and your feelings, and run away from your blessings and healings. To deal with our problems, we must find a more excellent way. And unless the Lord tells you to leave, please stay. Amen. Now, tonight's lesson is, as I say, Brother Brown, I know I'm going to make a lot of enemies. You know, I've been getting some good reports about, you know, God's word and everything, but tonight is going to be a little bit different. Now, I'll be reading to you from the Book of Psalms, and this is a combo. I'll be reading to you from the Book of Psalms, the first chapter, the first verse, and Genesis, the third chapter, the 19th verse. And also I'll be reading to you from Genesis, the second chapter, the 7th verse, from the King James Version, and it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's Psalms 1 and 1. Now I'm moving over to Genesis, the third chapter, the 19th verse. It said, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground from out of it wast thou taken. For thus you are, and to dust you shall return. Now I have one more scripture that the Lord has given me to give to you. It's Genesis, the second chapter, and I believe it's the sixth verse. And it reads, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Okay. Now, our topic for this evening is giving us instructions to move your dusty self out of the way.
Look out now, watch it.
And to prove what I'm saying, you know, we got a whole bunch of different selves. We got a rich self. We got an arrogant self. We got so many personalities. But see, we got to go all the way back down to the elementary part of us. I said that God, in Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, it says that God formed man from the dust. And if you look at the scientific makeup of a body, everybody is made up from the dust. And, okay, we made up all the elements of the earth. There is magnesium in us. There's enough iron in our body to make a 10-penny nail. There is enough calcium in our body to make a bar of soap. We have sulfur. We have magnesium. We have aluminum. We have all of the elements that's in the earth. We have gold. We have copper. All of these things that are in the earth, they're also in your body. So when I tell you to move your dusty self out the way, when the Lord tells you to move your dusty self out the way, then it's no disrespect. He has to remind us every now and then of who we come from and where we come from. Now,
amen.
Psalm 1 is letting us know, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, and I forgot to say it, but just read to you from the book of Genesis, Psalms 1 and 1, and also the book of Genesis, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word, and his will, and may edify our souls forever. Now, the reason why this particular scriptures, and I will be tying them together, it affects every last one of us, because each and every last one of us, whether we know it or not, have been a distraction to somebody else. And all right, we're going to start with Psalms 1 and 1. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So God's word in the psalmist is telling us that we should not walk in their way, because if we go over to the book of Amos, the third chapter and the third verse, it's asking the question, and this concerning a man and a wife, or either it's concerning people in general. And it says, how can we walk together unless we agree? Now, if you go back last year and you look at this insurrection that they say that they have, and I don't want to bring no politics into it, but it's a perfect example. After our former president said what he said and inflamed the crowd, he said, now let us walk over there. Because, see, when we walk, we're walking for one specific reason. But, see, we have a whole bunch of different reasons to run. But it says, don't stand in the way. Don't stand in the walk of the ungodly, which is just telling each and every last one of us that when you walk with someone, you are in a certain amount of agreement with that individual. And so God's word is saying, don't walk with them, the ungodly. Don't agree with them. Don't have nothing to do with them. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, which, if we think about it, and we really ponder on it, this means that we should not deny them access to the Lord. Because there's a lot of us that are blocking and throwing forth distractions to keep people from having access to the Lord. And I don't want to be a block nor a hindrance to those that is coming into the house of prayer. But we have to be extra careful. And as I was saying, what we're going to do, it's not going to be nobody, not even the babies. When I get finished with this lesson for tonight, everybody's going to have an attitude. But if we're going to have an attitude, it should be an attitude about ourselves and about how we are preventing people. And it said, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And see, we know when you scorn somebody, you have a feeling or an expression of contempt or derision for that individual. Also, to scorn someone is basically an open disrespect. So we keep these in mind as we progress through tonight's lesson. Now, we're going to first start off. Okay, we're going to start off with Moses. That's a good place to start. Now, with all the things that Moses did, he has some instructions from God in Exodus, the 17th chapter, the 6th verse, when God instructed him to do one thing, to smite the rock, and he struck the rock. And he was disobedient to what the Lord God had told him, so therefore he missed out. He was not able to enter into the promised land. You don't want to miss out because you can't move yourself out of the way. Now, I can just imagine Moses now saying, Lord, Lord, you know, I did everything that you asked me to do. Lord, why can't I get in? Why can't I make it into the promised land? But I, you know, in my imagination, I could just hear the Lord God responding to Moses, said, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. So through our disobedience, there's a consequence for those things that we do. Now we're going to move over here to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we're going to talk about those five virgins, wise, and five virgins, foolish. Now, as I say, you got to be able to move your dusty self. I'm going to get to your part in a minute. But they were not able to move themselves out of the way. Those were the five foolish virgins. They had enough time to do what it was that they had to do. But then they may have walked in, and see, you know that a virgin is probably one of the purest things that God ever gave breath. It's someone who is pure in their heart and pure in their body. So these virgins, when the time come for them to come in, and they were not prepared to enter into the feast that was prepared for them. Once again, the door was closed on them and they were not able to enter in. Why? Because they couldn't move themselves out the way. They did not make the proper preparations that they needed in order for them to gain access. Now, we know that God's word says, you know, hey, you're not supposed to stand in the way of sinners. We're not supposed to sit in the seat of of the scornful, but I'm mighty afraid that that's what a lot of us are doing. Okay, now we're going to move over here to Jonah. Jonah couldn't move himself out of the way. He couldn't move his dusty self out of the way because God told him that he wanted to go to Nineveh. But he went, you know, he told him that he wanted to go to Cedar Point. But Jonah ended up way down in Disney World. So we got to look at how things happen here. Sometimes when the Lord gives you instructions, we have a different agenda that we want to follow. But guess what? Jonah didn't become the recipient of those blessings that God, you know, God taught him a lesson while he was sitting on the outskirts of town trying to stick around for the results. Now we're going to move over here to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and we're going to talk about King Uzziah. Now it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah tells us that he also saw the Lord. So King Uzziah had all of these years been blocking Isaiah from seeing the Lord. Now, can you just see yourself blocking people from seeing the Lord? Now, to give you a little history on Isaiah and Uzziah. Uzziah was the king. He was appointed king at the age of 16. He reigned for 52 years. He also was cousin of Isaiah. Now, just like we do, sometimes we have a family member that have reached a lofty height or that holds a prestigious position, and we look at that title. We let them, that title, block us from seeing a whole lot of other things. You know, that's my cousin. He's this. That's my dad. He's that. But sometimes those distractions, you stand in the way, you have to be removed in order for people to see God. Now, I don't want to stand in God's way. I don't want to be blocking his way. I don't want to do that. So we're going to move over here. All right. Now, I just talked about a few biblical people. Now I'm going to get on us. Preacher man, move your dusty self out the way. Okay, wait a minute. There's one more. We're going to talk about that eldest son, the prodigal son's oldest brother. Now, the prodigal son went out there. We know the story about him. He went out there, did everything that he thought he was big enough to do. But then he had a change come over him, and he realized that, if you notice, he said that, I know that I've sinned against Father, my Father, and I've sinned against heaven. Now, he didn't sin against his brother. He recognized that he sinned against his father. And so he come back. He left arrogant, but he came back humble. He left with an attitude, but he came back manageable. But okay, in the 28th verse of the chapter of the 15th chapter of Luke, it says something that we got to be careful of. It says that this brother was angry. Now, just like some of us do in the church, you know, people go out there and they find out that the grass is greener on the other side, but it truly is not. So they go out there and they suffer, and when they come back, and I say, I'm going to tell you why this brother had an attitude, because Wednesday night probably was their Bible class night, and it took his dad 15 minutes when they come to have Bible study. I'm just painting a scenario here. They probably had Bible study at the father's house. And so it took the father 15 minutes to get from the couch to come and open up the front door. Now, this young man is out in the field, and he sees his dad running, not walking, but running to greet this young man, his brother. And so, as I say, the disrespect and contempt that he had for his brother, he reminded his father. He said, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, man, you're gonna accept him back same way we do in the church. When somebody come back into the fold, you got a lot of people in the background that is upset because the preacher, and I know that every preacher should be excited to see a member come back into the fold, because the word says, not me, that heaven rejoice over 99, over one that repent. The 99 need no repentance. So don't you know that people will pick up on your bad vibes, and the 100 or the 99 may be happy, but they focusing in on that one unforgiving individual who said, oh, don't worry about it. They're going back out there. That unforgiving individual that is prophesying that they're going back there. Now, I know if it was me, that's like that church hurt that you just heard about. Sometimes people can say and do things. And we know that in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse, it said that if a brother, or we're going to say also a sister, is overcome in a fault, that we're supposed to restore them gently. It didn't say remind them that they just, you know, that they walked away from the church. They already know that they walked away from the church. And it takes a lot of strength to come back to that place that you left. It takes a lot of strength to realize. But then the young man was concerned about what his daddy would say, you know, so he had a rehearsal. He said, Lord, Father, you know, just accept me back as a hired hand, because I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I no longer should hold that position that I held when I left. But as I say, move yourself out the way, Christians. When somebody come back into the church, be glad for them. Reach out and embrace them. Don't give them that famous two-finger handshake. Don't do that, because they will pick up on that. Now, we're going to go here to the preacher. Preacher, please, sir, move your dusty self out the way. The reason I say that, because it's a lot of, I know back in the 70s and 80s, maybe back further than that, the preachers, they used to dress real fancy. Used to have on their gold and their jewelry and their hats, their dobs, and I mean, they were sharper than a Gillette Blue Blade. And so one day, my pastor, he was preaching, and I said to myself, I'm gonna throw myself in there. I got to move my dusty self out the way. So the preacher, as I say, he was a fancy dresser. He had a diamond ring on every finger. So the Lord brought it to my attention and said, Pastor, when you was preaching, they wasn't concentrating on what you were saying. You got the people in the vineyard saying that I want some jewelry too. And the word of God can very easily get lost. And so I knew that I couldn't compete. Deacon Cox, move your dust yourself out the way. I couldn't compete with that. So guess what I did? I went out to the value world, to the used store, and I found myself the most outrageous tie that I could find. And so one day, Other deacon was praying, and I looked up, you know. No, I looked up, and the people were laughing. I'm saying to myself, what's so funny? But then I found out after service that everybody was laughing at my tie. You know, I had the Tasmanian devil dunking a basketball on Bugs Bunny. And that was a distraction. And that was a distraction. So we have to, so, okay, we got to go to this here dress code, because over there in Timothy, the second chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse, it tells us that we have to, the women, it tells the women, but the men got to dress modest too. You know, you don't want something to wear something that brings undue attention to yourself. You don't want to wear something that is exposing all of your bulges and everything. So move yourself out the way. Now, Deacon, it's your turn. One day, it was a young lady coming to the house of prayer. She had a short skirt on. And so the deacon, all of a sudden, he got a cold. He got a cold, and he was signaling to the other deacons. He said, "Who is she? Who is she?" So I'm just saying that, young ladies, when you come into the house of prayer now, those that are familiar with Aretha Franklin, several years ago when she passed away, it was a young lady coming there. I'm not going to mention her name, but I'm telling you, she really did distract that preacher. That poor preacher didn't have a chance, because she come into the house of prayer, and he couldn't keep his eyes or his hands off of her. So, young lady, wear the appropriate things. Now, and there was also a celebrity that was in that house of prayer at that particular time, had a hat on that you didn't know what type of hat it was on, but it was a hat. So we have to be able to move ourselves out the way and quit becoming distractions unto the men and the women of God. Okay, children, it's your turn now. Now I'm going to start with the parents. Parents tells us, fathers over there in Ephesians, it says the 4th chapter, I believe it's the 6th verse, it's telling us, don't provoke your children to anger. But what you mean by that, Deacon? What you mean by that? Well, you know, I'm the biggest weed head and alcoholic that is, but then I'm telling my son, I better not catch him doing this. Boy, if I catch you doing this, I'll kill you. But, Daddy, you doing it. So, fathers, parents, in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse, it said, train up a child in the way in which he should go. So whether we know it or not, whether we verbally training our children or whether we visually training our children, we got to be careful. The best bet I found out, if you don't want your children to do something, don't do it around them.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, children, move yourself out the way. Because of your passions and because of the things that you like, guess what? You're bankrupting your parents. Now, your parents is all automatically working hard to try to make things for you, to try to make the household go along, make the household run smoothly. But you want a $200 pair of gym shoes because everybody else got a pair of gym shoes like that. Children, move yourself out of the way. Now, Brother Brown, I know that when you was coming up, your sweet mother, she took y'all to Tiger Stadium in Detroit.
Yes, she did. That's right.
And I know that sometimes, you know, I don't know what type of budget she had, but see, sometimes, guess what? You might have had to sit in a section, you know, the old ball parks, they have what is known as an obstructed view seat.
That's
and
right.
With five,
that's
six,
right.
Seven or eight kids, you had to sit behind a pole. And you couldn't
that's
see
right.
what was going on. You can't see somebody sliding in the third base. You just see the ground in second. So this is what I'm saying, and this is how we do when it comes down to certain people. It's just how Isaiah and Uzziah did Isaiah. He was in his way. So you don't want to be a spiritual blind spot to somebody. You don't want these things, you don't want to block their way. And so, moving right along, old lady, I'm going to talk about you now. Cover those knees up. Please cover those knees up. You say that you got Lord the body Jesus. Of a 16, you say you got the body of a 16-year-old. I got one suggestion for you. Take it out your trunk. It's beginning to stink. You got to be careful because you know you walking up the steps, and if they could put a microphone on your knees, it sound like they got a dice game in your legs. So don't be a distraction unto the people and the children of God. And see, whether we know or not, each and every last one of us can be that type of a distraction. Even the clothes that we wear, the colors of the clothes that we wear, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, move your dust yourself out the way. They were dressed in purple and fine linen, and at that time, purple was a dye that was really hard to make. It was probably one of the most expensive dyes that they had to dye the clothes that color. But see, that's why they call, even now they call purple the prosperity color. So Lord said, think not to yourself what you're going to wear. Think not to yourself what you're going to do. Let him pick out your wardrobe, because those things that we, and I know Dr. King, Norman King, I know when you went to the church back in the day, they used to call your outfit your Sunday best. And your Sunday best consisted of a suit, some shoes that were shined properly, a nice little neat tie, a well-starched shirt, and can't nobody tell you that you wasn't sharp. But nowadays, the preachers is wearing those saggy pants because why? They want to be like everybody else. But God's word said, move yourself out the way, because a prophet of God should not be familiar with the people. You're supposed to stand head and shoulders above the rest. So I don't know who I done left out. When I talked about the preacher, the deacon, the old man. Oh yeah, let me talk about that old man. Old man, why don't you just wear your jewelry on the inside of your shirt instead of having a cross on your neck bigger than the chair? Because what you're going to do, that's just a message to the young ladies that you have reached a certain level of affluence in your lives. And that's where people begin to have those May-December relationships. Why? Because that's an advertisement. Young ladies, let your hemline go plummet a little bit more. Children, honor the father, your father, and your mother. Stop throwing those tantrums. Move yourself out the way. Be obedient to the word of God. Parents, train up your children in the way in which they should go. Christian, when people come back to the church, be glad to see them. You know why? Because just like this prodigal son's oldest brother, and maybe somebody could answer this for me for later on, why do people take the mercy of God and make it all about themselves? See, that oldest brother said, hey, you ain't never did this for me. You ain't never done that for me. Why do we always do that when we see mercy being extended to somebody? That we always say, and these are words that people always say, I am said all the time, if it was me, look, God going to deal with you in his time. But if he's blessing somebody, you know, it was a man on his way home, you know, you're on the freeway, and you see somebody fly past you, And then a mile or two up ahead, you see the state trooper got them pulled over. But then you see the state trooper giving them back their license and everything. You see, state troopers or police, they were good at one time asking the individual that seemed like they was in a hurry. And they would ask sarcastically, where's the fire? But this one particular time, the individual said, the fire is at my house. And it just so happened that the state trooper heard it over his radio. He said, okay, sir, slow down, but just be careful. So when the Lord, we don't know what the reason why the Lord shows somebody some mercy, but be willing to accept that the Lord has shown people mercy. Don't take it so personal that it becomes a personal affront to you. When that member come back once again, and I'm going to get back to that, when that member come back, move your dust yourself out the way. We all standing in somebody's way, so it's time to take a self-examination over there in Corinthians. It tells us they let a man examine himself. So this requires a self-examination because in the year that Uzziah died, that's when Isaiah saw the Lord. And you don't want the Lord to move you out of the way, out of your children's way, because you acting contrary. They got looking up to you and your contrary way so much that you're blocking out the view of God. And it says that when he moved, his train filled the temple. Now, I know that sometimes, as I say, that obstructive view, it blocks everything. So don't be obstructive view. Don't be a hindrance. Don't be a liability. So we have to ask the Lord when it comes down to these things. Lord, what should I wear? Lord, how should I conduct myself? You know, if you are cussing Christian, you're blocking people's way. If you are lying Christian, you're blocking people's way. You're sitting in the seat of scornful. Now, there's prodigal son's old, that I call him the elder boy. He was scornful and scorning his brother. He had contempt for him because he had the nerve enough to come back to the house of prayer. Don't have contempt for your brothers and your sisters. Let us rejoice. Let us do the things that God intended for us to do. Let us be better Christians. In the name of the Lord. So I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth God's word. But as I say, I know it's a lot of people probably mad at me tonight because, you know, I told us about ourselves. And if you notice, I didn't leave myself out because I didn't know it at the time until I started studying for this lesson that I also was a distraction, that I was standing in people's way. People was concentrating on the things that I was doing and not concentrating, you know, laughing at the things that I was doing and took their focus off the Lord. So I now turn you over into the hands of Brother Brown. May God bless you and may I keep you, and I thank you for the privilege and the pleasure of your time. Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. Another job well done on tonight. You gave us what the Lord gave you. But I like what you just said. You were transparent. You let us know that sometimes you have blocked people's way. So we all need to examine our own lives to make sure that we are not being a hindrance to anyone. Because like you said in the beginning, the word of God, and you gave us scriptures after scripture after scripture to let us know and remind us that we're all made out of dust. And this dust consists of a lot of different elements. And so just like all the dust of the ground and the earth, we are made out of dust too. So we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are not blocking someone from seeing the Lord. Then also we must make sure that we are not one that's scattering God's flock to make them run away from the Lord. So right now, we thank God for this word. I know that it has been received by the listeners. So I don't think anyone is upset with you, Deacon Marvin Cox, because you gave them and you gave us what God told you to tell us. So that means that we need to take a good look at our own lives according to his word. So right now, I have opened up the phone lines. Anyone that may have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox, I know I was not the only one that was blessed by this word on tonight. Anyone else that may have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox, you can do so right now, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, this is the opportunity to do so. Anyone? Praise the Lord.
This is Sister Walker. That was a wonderful, wonderful message tonight.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, yes, sir. You hit all of us. You hit everybody with that truthful word. You didn't leave not one person out. Most definitely.
Right.
We must not be a hindrance, because like you were saying, we might be blocking someone else's blessing and they'll miss their blessing because we're on a distraction to them and they're not paying attention or listening to the word. Because sometimes in church, you know, people be talking while the minister is preaching and people are talking and whispering. And you don't want to sit next to somebody and they having a conversation. They not even listening to the word. And then you might miss something that you really needed.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. We got to move our dusty self out the way.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you. I thank you for that, Mr. Walker.
Pastor Norman King.
Yes, tight, but it's right.
I love it. Tight, but it's right.
You know, and that's something that needs to be broadcast in a lot of churches. People have lost their way, and if they heard you're right. You might look. First of all, you're on the whole umbrella according to Psalm 91, brother. You know, they want to get you out of there, but see, that's the truth, though. That's the truth that needs to be spoken right there. And I like
that's
how you cover everyone. You left no one out. We can't say
that's
you pick on certain set, but you cover all grounds. God bless you, my brother.
Amen. Okay, thanks.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, my Lord. You know, but I know God was glorified through this word on tonight, because we know that for such a time as this that we're living in now, like Pastor Norman King said, this type of preaching and teaching needs to be done more in the body of Christ, because a lot of these are pastors. God is going to hold them accountable for a lot of things that they're allowing to happen in the household, of God. And he's not pleased with a lot of stuff that's going on. So many pastors, and it's sad to say, but it's the truth, a lot of pastors have allowed the things of the world to come into the Lord's house. And that's why so many souls are being lost. That's why so many people that are saved in Jesus' name are walking away from God, because they are being distracted by the things of the world that have been brought into the Lord's house.
That's right. That church hurt that's coming along.
That's right. That's a part of that. And believe it or not, that's right. You're right. Absolutely. Deacon Marvin Cox, all I can say is you keep on. If the Lord gives you another subject like this, bring it on. Don't be afraid of the people. What the Bible says, don't be afraid of the look on their faces. You just deliver the word and let them deal with about it, because you did your part. You was obedient to what God gave you to deliver to the people, because apparently it's what we needed to hear. So God knows what he's doing when he gives you these, not only you, but anyone that come over this worldwide platform and deliver his word. He knows who's going to be listening, and he knows exactly what we need. So that's why we have to pray before we bring forth God's word, and ask the Lord to give us what he wants us to tell the people that are going to be listening to any platform, any show that's over this worldwide platform. He knows who's going to be listening and what we all need. So this word was for, I'm touching and agreeing with everybody else on tonight. This word was for everybody tonight, even me. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are not a liability in any shape, form, or fashion to anyone, whether they're in the household of God or not. Even to the sinners, we got to be careful how we carry ourselves around them as believers in Jesus Christ.
That's
so right now, we got
That's
to close off with tonight, and we thank you again, Deacon Margaret Cox, for this awesome word. We thank you for this awesome poem, Church Hurt, because I'm sure we all are familiar with Church Hurt. I know I am. But we thank God for you and being a vessel that God is using in the earth for such a time as this to stand holy and holy boldness, delivering his word, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So God's word has gone forth with power again on tonight, and we give God the glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. And as I always say, please, my sister, my brother, encourage one another in God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but according to God's word, that God will get the glory. That's what it's all about, God being glorified. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, as your saints, as your servants, ambassadors. We come once again touching and agreeing that you are God all by yourself. And we thank you for who you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised. So now we pray, Lord, that you move by your spirit on tomorrow, and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, whether they're in the household of God, in the sanctuary, or through social media platforms, but your word is going forth. Let it go forth with power on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up my sister in Christ, Sister Essie. You know her situation, you know what she's going through. We pray, Lord, that you would draw her even closer to you as she continues to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you would move by your spirit in her life, that she can be even more of a doer of your word and not just a hearer only, that she can continue to be more of an asset to the kingdom of God everywhere she goes, that she would not be afraid or ashamed to be a witness for you. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to cover her in the blood of Jesus, continue to cover her household, and let your word go forth with power through her, that you will get the glory in her life. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still healing, delivering, and setting your people free. So touch, heal, and deliver all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, whether it's in their minds, spirits, or bodies. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. We touch and agree that they are healed and they're made whole right now by faith in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we continue to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Thank you that his blood still works and it would never lose its power. And we thank you that once we're in your hands, that you promised us that nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hands. We know that you are a faithful God and you're true to your word. You are a promise keeper. For this we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.